You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. How can one generation influence another generation, especially when there's a generation in between when it comes to families? What influence do grandmothers have? Do they have an opportunity to leave a legacy as they interact with their grandchildren? We'll find out more. We'll talk with Dr. Mary Mon-Simon about that in just a little bit. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo and check out Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me by phone this morning, bestselling author Dr. Mary Mon-Simon. She's written quite a few books, particularly books for families, families with children, grandchildren. Dr. Mary Mon-Simon, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be with you. A
privilege to have a chance to talk with you this morning. Tell me about, you've written quite a few books, and the one we're going to talk about today is Footprints with My Grandchild, 52 Devotions, Activities, and Reflections, talking about that relationship between grandmother and grandchild and how that can shape and impact, leave a legacy, if you will. Tell me a little bit about, let's talk about Dr. Mary Mon-Simon, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, is that right?
Grandmother of five boys. It's an active time.
I bet that keeps you busy, and you also find time to write books to help out families in a variety of ways, particularly when it comes to matters of faith. Tell me about your life as an educator, a mom, a grandmother. Share a little bit of your story with us.
Sure. I actually began writing books accidentally. I didn't plan on being an author. I'd written a doctoral dissertation and knew that writing was no fun, and it was a lot of hard work, and I didn't want to write any more books. But our children didn't really have any devotions to grow up with. My husband's uncle Martin had written Little Visits with God, but that was really geared toward older children, and we had three under the age of four. So I needed something for active-oriented, very young children, and I just started writing down how God was at work in our children's lives, and I used scraps of paper, whatever I could find, spelling lists, shopping lists, envelopes, whatever, and then we used that as our devotional time. At bedtime, it was always short, but it was that kind of a marker that we had in our day, that the children knew that we were going to talk about some way that God was working in their lives that day. And I put them all in a drawer and called Concordia Publishing House and said, "What do I do now?" That became Little Visits with Jesus. And many thousands of copies later, then there were more and more. And now, altogether, I've probably published 75 books, and they've sold more than 3 million copies, Andy. I mean, I am such a testimony to what God can do, even with somebody who's reluctant. I mean, I felt I told God, no, I didn't want to write a book, and he could still work.
So certainly your vocation as a mom, as a mother, certainly influenced and had a lot to do with the writing that you were doing.
Absolutely. My mom part of me is a big part of that heart. It's my favorite job, being a mom. Although I have to say that being a grandmother, wow, it's getting close to being a tie there.
Well, tell me about making that transition from your vocation as a mother being your inspiration for your writing to then becoming a grandmother and how that started shaping your writing.
You know, it wasn't really hard because children, as an early childhood educator, that's what my doctorate is, children are such a part of who I am. And my care and concern for their faith life has been such a driver for me for so many years. It was kind of a natural, you know, just kind of falling out of what I was doing. And our children were really the inspiration behind much of the early writing I did. The Hear Me Read books, that is now the Hear Me Read Bible, and the Spanish edition of that comes out next year. Those have sold more than a million copies alone. Those are whole Bible stories in 25 words or less. And those happened because our son Matthew, as a first grader, was struggling with reading. He would read Pat and Pan every night. There were two pigs. And those stories were so boring, Andy. I said one night, I said, Matthew, can I write you a book about Jesus? And he said, well, David and Goliath is my favorite. So I wrote the book Bing, B-I-N-G, exclamation point. And thousands of little guys have read that book since then. But that really happened because of my own needs as a mom. And that's where I think the books have really made an impact, because I'm on the front lines with kids. I'm not stuck in an ivory tower or someplace away from kids. I'm where it's happening. I had two new books come out this last week. They'll be released next month. And I just got my author copies. So life continues on, even as a grandma, because I'm with those little guys and see what their needs are. And so they just those needs are reflected in my books.
So let's talk about what led up to writing Faith Footprints with my grandchild, 52 Devotions, Activities, and Reflections.
I like this book, Andy. I like it because I'm looking ahead. Sometimes when we get to this point in life, we think, well, what's left? What more can I do? And yet when we really think about leaving a legacy, this is where we can have an impact. This is where we can really make a difference. And I saw that when I was in St. Louis last week. Actually, three of our grandsons live in Wildwood, just west of where your studio is at KFUO. And I saw Nate, our second grader. He had his reading list on the kitchen counter. And one of the books he put down for his daily reading, they have to read a certain amount every day, was The Boy's Bible. I had sent him a new Bible. And there in the middle of Geronimo Stilton and all these other second grade books was The Boy's Bible. He and his dad had just read the story of Nathan, his namesake, in the Bible. I didn't have to ask myself if I made a difference. I know that God was working through just purchasing a new Bible for Nate. That's such a simple thing we can do as grandparents. It's just an example, but we can make such a difference. I think one of the things that I see, Andy, is parents complaining that they live so far away from the grandchildren. Well, our grandchildren are all half a continent away, and yet I can still make a difference as a grandma. I would really encourage your listeners to think, what can I do to leave faith footprints for my grandchild?
How do you hope your book, Faith Footprints, with my grandchild would be used? How do you intend it to be used?
Well, it's really a fun book. It has a devotional thought for the grandma, and then there's scripture, and then there's a prayer suggestion. But, and here's a key thing, there's always an activity to do with your grandchild that reflects the theme of the devotion. So you take this devotional theme and really apply it right away in your everyday experiences with your grandchild. So it's very fun.
Tell me about some of those activities. What do you mean by activities? What are you hoping would be the outcome of those?
For children, especially young children, time equals love. For a child, if we spend time with a child, the message we're giving is, you are important. When we spend time with a child that is faith-focused, we're saying, you are important, and God is important in your life, too. I'm important, too. So there's that triangle. And when I write a book like Faith Footprints with my grandchild, I have in mind a triangle with the three sides. And how will God bring those sides of the triangle together? I can only put words on a page. I know that God does everything else. So Faith Footprints with my grandchild isn't finished. I finished the book. It's published. It's done. It's selling. But God will make the difference as he brings those three sides of the triangle together. My favorite activity in the book is a little memory jar. And you just take an empty apple juice jar or whatever, rinse it out, and then you pour in some salt, and then you add little tidbits of things that reflect what you've done with your grandchild, maybe that day or on that trip that you saw your grandchild. So in my little memory jar that's here on my desk, I have little tiny happy birthday things like we used on Josh's birthday table last week in Chesterfield. And I have little balloons that we used like we had at the birthday party. And money. He got gift cards. He's 10 now. He liked money. So little reminders of what we did. And if Josh looks at that memory jar, he can see some time that I spent with him. And then, of course, we end with being grateful for all the blessings that God has given us. So there are activities like that. Some are very quick and easy. Some are just sitting down and talking with a grandchild. Some are starters. But there also are pages after each of the 52 devotions that you can reflect. What has this devotion meant to you? Or what has the time that you've spent with your grandchild done for you? Because that's where the meaning comes in. So it's all about togethering, making that an emotional connection with your grandchild. And these are ideas to do to make that happen.
Why is it important for grandparents to share that faith, to share this Christian faith with their grandchildren?
I think by now we realize at this point in life, we know what's important. We know it's not as important when a child starts to read. It doesn't matter really when a child is toilet trained. We know what really matters. And what matters is that a child develops a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior.
What are ways that grandparents can share this love of Jesus in their relationship with their grandchild?
Certainly what we do in terms of modeling, that's critical. Do we go to church? Does the child see the marker move in our Bible? That we are really practicing what I call lifestyle Christianity. That we live out what we believe so that there is no gap between what we say and what we do. A grandchild can see us return the extra change at the register when the clerk gives us too much money. That sends a message. That's living out our Christian values.
What is it particularly about grandmothers, that relationship of grandmothers to grandchildren, that is unique and that serves as a vehicle for strengthening that faith formation, the nurture of faith in a child?
Well, what happens with grandma is that we can start with an empty slate. As moms, we were often caught up in the reality of the day, the everyday life. Did you make your bed? Oh, you're wearing the wrong socks with that outfit. Or did you lose a barrette? Whatever. So we got caught up in the everyday little tussles and hassles. But as a grandma, we can start out with a clean slate. There's, we don't have to be worried about, making sure the child has his lunch money and that kind of stuff. We can start clean and fresh. And what a wonderful opportunity to have this fresh start at the age we are. I mean, God gives us every day a fresh start with a grandchild.
What are some moments, you mentioned one earlier, moments that you've enjoyed with your grandchildren? What are some of the things that you've had with your grandchildren that you wanted to include in this book?
It's really about starters. It's about what ideas can you take and then apply in your life? Last week when I was in St. Louis, we went to the shrine, Our Lady of the Snow Shrine in Belleville, where they present the real story of Christmas. This has become an annual tradition. And last week when we were there, Luke and Nate both rode a camel, which was great. But it's doing those, building those kind of traditions through the years that are Christ-centered traditions. I took Advent calendars in my suitcase for the kids last week. So every day, they are marching toward the manger, looking forward to celebrating Jesus' birthday. They make a Jesus' birthday cake. Why? We did that when Christy, our daughter, was a child. So the traditions that we start are often the ones that our children will continue with our grandchildren. And if they don't, then we have the opportunity to do it.
Anything else that anything that you've learned from your experience as a grandmother, having five grandsons, that shaped this book or shaped how you write?
I think the most important piece really is to turn off the tech, turn off that phone, whatever's beeping and clicking. You know, what I tell the kids is I turn off everything when I talk to God. I turn off everything when I talk to you. That's really an unforgettable message. There are very few people today who are going to completely and totally focus on your grandchild. You can be that person.
Now, this book is written as 52 devotions, activities, and reflections. It's written in that kind of format where there's a scripture, a devotion, and some activities to do, as well as what to pray, and then an opportunity to reflect or an opportunity to journal about that devotion, that activity, all of that theme for, well, 52, I'm going to assume that it's one for each week.
That's correct. Or you can read them in consecutively. It really doesn't matter. That's just a nice marketing kind of thing. It's really guided journaling so that you're not just writing down everything, but, you know, you're really focused on what the topic is for the day. You know, St. Paul says we are living letters. He says that we show that we are a letter from Christ sent through us. That's really how I view myself as a grandma, and that's what I would encourage listeners of KFUO to see themselves as, a living letter from Christ. What can we do today, regardless of how geographically near or far we are from our grandchildren? What can we do to encourage the faith walk of a grandchild? It's our opportunity.
What about grandmothers in that situation where the Word of God is not as important for their for their children? What can we do for that generation where it seems that there's grandma attends church regularly, hears the Word of God joyfully, but her children, that's not an important part of their lives. That's not a priority. What can she do for her grandchildren in a way that is faithfully nurturing and supporting those grandchildren, and maybe even has an influence on her children at a time in their lives where perhaps they don't view the Word of God as important?
That's a really important question, Andy, and I apologize for my coughing. I came back from St. Louis with a cold.
Sorry, we sent that back with you.
Yeah, I am too. Because now my husband has it, and it's tough for a pastor in Advent, this kind of thing. But one of the most important things is that we can pray, because prayer isn't bound by any miles. If we know a child is having a hard test or faces a big game or a tournament, we can call that child that morning or text them and say, I'm praying for you today. That kind of prayer cover, talk about lifestyle Christianity, that says to the child, wow, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. You are not alone. And it reminds the child that God is with them. So prayer is, it's just such an important aspect of who we are as grandparents. We can stop and pray for our grandchild anytime, anywhere. And for us to feel like we really are making a difference, I think that is just terribly significant.
You mentioned calling or texting them to let them know that you're praying for them, especially when they have something significant coming up. Are there other ways that technology has been useful for you in caring for and nurturing that relationship with grandchildren who are far away?
One of the things that was most interesting when one of our grandsons was adopted from an orphanage in Ethiopia was to Skype with him. When he was a little guy, he would love to see me on the screen. Now it lasts about a minute when he's off running to some other tech, probably. But he liked to be able to see me. And it was the most amazing thing to think that here was a child born in a dirt floor hut in the middle of Ethiopia, 13 hours by road away from Addis Ababa. And he liked tech. And I could Skype with Solomon. He could see me. I could talk to him. And certainly using technology as a tool, not as a, an end-all and be-all, but really as a tool. How can we use it to further our relationship with a grandchild? That's something that often we need to look to a grandchild to initiate. I'm terrible with tech, and our daughter-in-law would tell you that because she's tried to help me work with a tablet. But turning to a grandson, as I do, to say, well, how do you do that on your tablet? And seeing the skills they have. I think as a grandmother, we think that we're the ones who always have to be giving the information or leading the way or initiating. But often I find that because I have so much to learn, and not just in tech, but in life itself, and am aware of it at this point in my life, I have to turn to the younger people in my life and let them teach me. And what a wonderful message that we can give to our grandchildren, that we too are lifetime learners.
And certainly how proud those grandchildren must be when they teach grandma or grandpa how to do something. I know in our own family, on one side of the family, that my wife's parents live in Florida, and so they certainly have adopted technology and use it quite frequently because they're away from all of the grandchildren, so they use it to stay in touch through Facebook and Skype and things like that to stay connected. And in my parents' home, they live a little bit closer. And just recently, in the last month, started getting internet service in their home. And I never thought I'd see that day.
So. Well, they have wonderful times ahead. It's really interesting how we can use tech also in the relationship that often is the touchy one in this whole grandmother relationship. And that's with a daughter-in-law. That's the question that I'm asked most often. How do you build a relationship with a daughter-in-law? She comes from a whole different set of values and family living and styles and everything. But allowing a younger person, again, to be able to teach us. There's a wonderful model in the Bible between Ruth and Naomi. Both women were willing to give and to take to each other. And I think of how my daughter-in-law has been so helpful for me in trying to catch on to all this technology. So cross-generational relationships, really, we have an opportunity to bridge that gap. I think as we do that, we have to remember, especially in the daughter-in-law area, that we weren't perfect moms. We can't expect our daughter-in-laws to be perfect either. We're not perfect grandmas either, even though that hurts to say it. But we are all imperfect. That's why Jesus came. So those kind of things that we think about more when we're grandmothers, because I think we're very intentional. A lot of the clutter has been cleared out of our life. Now we're really focused on what matters. And we know what matters. It's that relationship. That relationship with a grandchild, with our own children, and with Jesus Christ.
Mary, we have just about 30 seconds left. Where can we find Faith Footprints with My Grandchild? Where can we find your book?
Yeah, I would just suggest you go online. Just Google it, Faith Footprints with My Grandchild, and you can get it at Amazon, ChristianBook.com, Barnes & Noble, any of them.
Dr. Mary Mond-Simon, author, grandmother, mother, educator, thank you so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy, and have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you. You as well. Up next, family traditions. What role do they play in your family? Do you have traditions that you want to keep for years to come, or maybe introduce some new traditions? We're going to talk with our friend Kay Meyer in just a little bit here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.